Welcome to Scrappy ABM, your source for groundbreaking approaches that don't break the bank. ABM shouldn't cost $200K in tech to even get started. So if you want to get started with ABM or make your program even better without investing a massive amount of money, you're in the right place. Each week, we'll hear from the brightest minds in the marketing world who are redefining ABM, achieving incredible results with untraditional methods, limited resources, and a whole lot of creativity. This isn't a show about how much money you can spend on fancy tech or overhyped tools. Instead, it's about celebrating creative problem solving and the scrappiness it takes to get ABM right. We'll dive into how these marketing leaders built robust ABM strategies with limited resources, revealing the actionable insights that led to their biggest wins. So if you're a marketer ready to challenge the status quo and build a scalable, efficient, effective marketing strategy, Scrappy ABM is the show for you. So if you're ready to discover ABM strategies that are lean, impactful, and utterly transformative, let's dive into this episode. Hello and welcome to Scrappy ABM, your podcast with practical playbooks that don't break the bank. Today, I am joined by Sam Dunning, and we're going to talk through the intersection of ABM and SEO, which I think is a very under-discussed topic. So Sam, excited to have you on the show and dig into it.
Hey, Mason. Thanks for having me on, man. Yeah, looking forward to the conversation, sir.
When we dig into this idea around ABM and SEO, I'm just curious from your perspective, like, do you have any clients that are coming in and just saying, hey, I want to build an SEO program, but I want to specifically go after like our target account list as we build an SEO program?
Yeah, it's a funny one. Not necessarily that question specifically, but as we were touching on before we hit record, SEO can feed into ABM in quite a few different angles. So of course, SEO can be a great source of traffic to your website, whether they are high intent prospects that are in market for your offer, your service, your product now, or whether they're perhaps earlier stage, i.e. researching around your niche, trying to learn about your industry, or maybe trying to fix a problem that they're stumbling upon and then searching that on Google. So then of course, the traditional ABM players work out what traffic's coming to your website, use tools, be it Clearbit or something else, to understand if those visitors hit your target market, your target clients, the personas you're going after, and then you might retarget them with LinkedIn ads, other ads, whatever strategy you're running for your ABM, whether that's an outbound motion, ad motion. So it certainly feeds into it. That's one way that springs into mind straight away in terms of how SEO can link up with the overall ABM play.
Yeah. And again, I really love thinking about it from more the first party engagement side of things. Because again, as we look at a lot of people are trying to figure out how do I score my accounts and prioritize my outreach? And it's this merriment of third party intent data plus first party engagement data. So I just think that if you nail an SEO strategy for your target accounts, you now have a first party engagement way earlier and you can actually engage with them through their entire research process. So again, that's the context I wanted to set up for the audience as we dig into more of that's great in theory. Now, how do we do it? So Sam, can you give us kind of the high level overview of how, if you're thinking about building this ABM plus SEO strategy, like where are you getting started and actually understanding what your target accounts are researching?
Yeah. Let's dig straight in. So I'll start with, to tee it up, I'll start with some common issues and mistakes and blunders that I see when I see B2B service or B2B tech companies trying to get stuck into SEO to actually start driving kind of high intent traffic, demo requests or sales calls. So one of the biggest mistakes I see that B2B tech and service companies get into when they're starting their SEO campaign is it's all random. So as an example, the founder of the company might say to the marketing lead or the marketing manager, I think it's about time we got stuck into SEO. I constantly see our competitors above us on Google search when I'm searching for our offer or our service or anything that isn't our brand name. The marketing manager or the marketing lead will be like, okay, I'm going to do it. I've got 100 other tasks I'm trying to juggle, but sure, I'll do some SEO. They'll maybe dive into a keyword research tool, be it SEMrush, Ahrefs, whatever. Maybe quickly Google a few keywords around the niche and then think, okay, these look like quite easy wins. I'm going to write a couple articles, or maybe because I'm so busy, I'm going to use an AI tool to help me generate these articles. I've got two or three articles, stuck them on the website. There we go, boss. It's done for now. I'm going to get back to the 100 other tasks I've got. Check that off the checklist as a box tick activity. 5-6 months later, the marketing lead or marketing manager is still inundated with work. The founder says, what's going on with the SEO campaign? And they're like, we created a few articles. And they'll be like, great. What actually came of that? I'll be like, we saw a small uptick in traffic. Nothing really else apart from that. There was no leads that came in. There was no relevant ICP visiting our website and so on. So common mistake is companies think SEO is a box tick exercise. They think they can chuck up a couple of articles that maybe address top of funnel queries, like how to do something, best ways to compare this, top tips for 2024, which in theory aren't bad to address kind of high funnel, early stage questions, but they're not going to drive that bottom of the funnel. When I say bottom of the funnel, commercial intent, folks that actually are in market and needing your offer now. So that's a big mistake. And it's more to do with education, right? So I think it's often that SEO is done in the opposite way that it should be. So SEO should start from a revenue first focus. And what I mean by that is you should literally think, what are our dream clients searching for when they need our service, our product or offer now? They want to speak to sales about it now. So a big part of SEO is working out, going back to the roots of marketing really, which is understanding what your target clients search for when they have high intent for your offer. And there's two ways of doing it. You can use the classic SEO tools and you can research around your niche, your offer, etc. And when it comes to software, if you're in the SaaS space, that's quite often going to be keywords like best. I don't know if you're in a calendar scheduling tool, best calendar scheduling tool, or best calendar scheduling software, all that kind of stuff. Someone's not searching that for fun. They're searching that because they probably want to compare two or three vendors that provide the tool. Or likewise, if we go higher up the funnel, they might be comparing options. If we go mid-funnel, they're comparing, for example, Revenue Hero versus Calendly, as they've seen a couple options maybe that were recommended by their peers and they want to see what's going to be the best bang for the buck. So that's where you want to start with what are people with high intent searching for your offer. You want to evaluate, work out those keywords, but you don't just want to go by the tools. So you don't just want to necessarily go after something that's got the highest traffic or that yields the highest intent. You also want to do a bit of customer research to talk to recently won prospects, or if you're super early stage and you haven't had any recently won clients, maybe just target prospects that hit that persona that you're going after and understand what are the words that they use when they have a problem in your space, like what are their common issues, what are their common frustrations, what are their common pain points, what words do they use to describe your offer, and also what are the kind of advantages that they see as a result of working with you. The reason you're doing this is because that can be feed into not just keyword strategy, but the content that you produce to make sure when we eventually get to content for SEO, it's going to resonate with prospects. Because going back to AI, so many times SEO content is produced, be it article pages, be it service pages, be it feature pages, integration pages. They might rank okay, but as soon as someone lands on that page, they bounce about 3 seconds later because they see it's AI written. It's, we're going to supercharge your revenue for 2024. Yeah. With our cutting edge all in one, all singing, all dancing platform. And you're thinking, no one actually talks like that when you land on the page. So it's like super bounce rate. So yeah, understand what your target market is searching for when they have high intent. And then the biggest thing from there is so many SEO agencies put so much emphasis on something called technical SEO. So make sure your page speed is super fast. Make sure your metadata is up to date. Do all these technical audits. And I agree, technical SEO should be good. Like your URL structure should be on point, i.e. relevant to the page you're trying to rank for. And you should do your meta descriptions and H1 tags and H2 tags all in shape. But apart from that, too much time, in my opinion, spent on messing around with technical SEO, and you should jump into the content. Once you've realized what those high intent keywords are, you actually want to be found that are relevant to those kind of prospects ready to have a sales combo, build out best in class pages that match that search intent. So one of the quickest ways to do that is quite literally, you don't even need many SEO tools. You can just Google one of the keywords that you're going for. So in my case, as a prime example, breakingb2b.com, my website is almost 2 months old, but we've already got kind of 30, 40 pages built out. And what I did was I worked out what are the money niches that I want to go after. So what are the businesses, the companies, the sectors that I serve best as a company? What are the ones that have the problems we fix? And what are the ones that are prepared to invest in fixing that problem? Mapped out all those organizations and built out what's called long tail keywords for each one of those. So in our case, that was like B2B SaaS SEO agency, B2B SEO for FinTech, etc. But in your organization, let's say you're in a completely different space, maybe you provide calendar scheduling again, let's say calendar scheduling for construction companies, calendar scheduling for fintech companies, you'd work out all those money niches. So that might be one of your high intent keywords. You then literally Google that keyword. You check out what are the top three organic results for that keyword. This is called the skyscraper technique. Many SEOs claim it's dead, but it works fine. You look at the top three results in organic. You note down how those pages are structured. So are they a listicle, like articles type page? Are they a solution type page? What is the actual intent behind the search and what is the format of the page? And then you build out that page to one up those top ranking pages from every single angle. So it might be that the pages right now, let's say for best construction calendar software, maybe that is, I don't know, a listicle. That's an article of the top seven pieces of software. You think, I want to blow that out of the water. So I'm going to do the top 15. I'm going to position our product as number one. Before that, I'm going to do some pretext of why you should consider construction calendar scheduling, how it's going to help your business, the problems it fixes, etc. Position our offer as number one, a fair bit of spiel, and then a call to action and some social proof like testimonials. And then the other 14 contenders, we don't slate anyone. We give a fair assessment, but we just position our offer as top. And then it's the same for if we're talking about a solution page. So let's say, for example, best construction calendar software for fintech as an example was a solution page that ranked well. We'd then assess the top competitor. That might start with kind of problem, impact of problem, solution. We might think, yeah, we're going to do that stuff, but we're also going to walk through our process. We're going to walk through how the tool helps people get their jobs to be done. We're going to include a video testimonial. We're going to include some research statistics we did on the market. We're basically going to one up it from every angle and then have clear call to actions and kind of proof on the page. Because a big part of ranking pages with SEO is following something called EEAT, Experience, Expertise, Authority, Trust. Google want to see that the content was written by a subject matter expert that has hands-on expertise in the niche. So that's why using AI as a framework for content is fine, but you're going to get sussed out by Google and sussed out by your prospects if you're just rambling a load of computer-generated nonsense. Whereas if you've actually done your research on your customers and you say, look, we know you're facing this problem, we know this is the impact on revenue or headcount or whatever by not fixing it, here's what you could do yourself, or you could use your tool, just use a tool like ours that's going to save you time, pain, etc. Here's some client reviews. Here's a call to action to take a free trial or book a demo. So I've chewed your ear off for 10 minutes or so there. I'll let you get back to asking questions.
There's a couple of things I wanted to specifically call out of one. I love the simplicity of, look, if you're trying to figure out where do I start, thinking through the terminology around best or just the comparisons. Because again, at the end of the day, if someone's looking for best calendar software or best SEO agency or best ABM agency, they're probably not just like trying to necessarily even do high level top of funnel research. They are now in buy mode. So again, recognizing that, I think we've gotten away, and generally the ABM space, we've gotten away from creating that kind of content. And we're so focused on how do we create specific sales enablement content when we're just like ungated content. I just think the simplicity around understanding that's how your buyers are buying. Yes, they are looking at communities. Yes, they are looking on social, but also at the end of the day, they're probably going to be looking for reviews and social proof. So I love the call out there. And the other thing that I think that was very helpful is I've seen a lot of listicles, but they don't do a lot of upfront education on pros and cons of the category in and of itself. So I love the call out around actually as you create some kind of a list that is the best, also provide the education on the front end of pros and cons that help people understand these are the kinds of customers that get the best results from these kinds of tools. And if you're like, well, I don't know who those customers are, they should be documented as your ideal client profile. So your pros are all reflective of those that are on your target account list. Your cons are reflective of those that may not be the best fit customers at this time. So I think that's a great call out. And then the last piece is just around, again, you don't necessarily need an SEO tool. You can just, it's going to be scrappy. It's going to be a bit more manual, but just look up the terms that you want to rank around, see what content is working well, and then just one up that content and provide even potentially, and I'd love your thoughts on this front, is it beneficial to backlink to other content that is already ranking high as examples within your content that it can help maybe increase the search rankings overall. I'm curious on that front around, it's easy to say, how do you just want up the content? But from a practical perspective, are there any other tips that you could provide on how to ensure that you're going to rank higher?
Yeah, we'll get to links in a sec. So a common misconception in SEO is, like I said earlier, ones you need to spend months, weeks on technical SEO, and another's you need a ton of backlinks to actually start ranking sites. And like I say, but my site Breaking B2B is a prime example. It's almost 2 months old. We had no authority to start with, and we're already ranking for terms like B2B podcast agency, B2B SEO agency. We're nearly getting towards the top terms and similar just by doing these strategies that I said. So the first thing is work out those money niches. The best thing about you can do about SEO is, I didn't coin this term, I heard it from someone, but going after money keywords. So there's more specific and the more niche to those industries you serve that have the problems you fix, that see value from your offer and drive good revenue. The more specific you can get in those long tail offers, the best, better. So yeah, work out all of those, build out relevant pages for those, like the process we followed, evaluate what's ranking in the search end result page, build a page that matches user intent. Another tip before I go on to getting those pages ranking is, if you're doing a long form solution page, so let's say, for example, if we go back to our calendar scheduling example, maybe we go calendar scheduling for EdTech as another keyword. Let's say that was a solution page that ranked. Let's say we built out that page. It's got a problem, impact not fixing, problem, solution, maybe some social proof. Another hack that I like to use for ranking pages, add a nice FAQ section, but not just with random questions. These are questions you quite literally get on sales calls. So this is something I did to rank a few of our pages recently. I made a list of every sales call, in my case, that I get asked for SEO. So stuff like, how long does it take? Isn't investing in Google Ads quicker? And like for that question, I say, yes, it is, but you're paying for every click rather than building up organic authority. Questions like, why are you so expensive compared to other vendors? Do I get an account manager? So all that stuff that people ask me on a sales call, which other agencies or companies are way too scared to list, I just put it up front. Reason, it's threefold the advantage you get out of this. It gives you SEO value because you're answering those questions people actually want to know. It gives you trust and transparency value because if a prospect's on your site and they're thinking, this is the only company that's actually addressing my concerns up front, it reduces buyer anxiety and makes them more likely to actually request a demo or book a call, whatever that call to action you want to take. And it speeds up deal cycles. It gives your sales team a useful asset. Rather than sending endless PDFs via email, they can just say, check out this page. It's going to answer all your questions. It's going to have video resources and more. So it's like a super authoritative long form page. So, and those pages, when you build them and structure them, if they're niche enough, they can rank without backlinks. But when we get to more competitive terms, you've got, I don't know, your competitors in the space. So if you're in the Canada scheduling world, you've got Calendly, you've got Chili Piper, you've got my friend's Revenue Hero, great tool. Then you're going to need links when you go after those competitive, more generic terms. So rather than a long tail term like best calendar scheduling for finance teams, if you go after a general term like, I don't know, B2B calendar scheduling tool, it's going to be competitive, right? You're going to need links to have a chance. Now, there's a lot of controversy in SEO about buying links, trading links, spammy links, all this kind of stuff. In fact, Google recently released a spam update. They basically said if you're linking to sites or if you're publishing guest posts on sites that are completely irrelevant to your product or offer, you may well get punished. Makes sense. Mm. It's common sense. But yeah, there's a few ways you can build links to rank your keywords for juicy terms on pages that are hard to rank. One of my favorites, which links back to ABM, I think, is make a list of your current partners, clients, prospects that all serve the same ICP ideal client profile as yourself, but are not direct competitors. Hmm. And then drop them a message, LinkedIn, email, whatever. Hey, I've got a bit of an unusual idea to create content together, drive some traffic and drive some inbound. Are you against a conversation? I love painfully short messages, direct to the point. No 10 paragraphs that someone's going to ignore. Get straight to the point. Build the curiosity gap as well with that message. So for example, we partner with a company called Impactable. You might know Justin Rowe. And we did a similar thing, right? So we create like articles together, podcasts together, video content. And on the articles that we put on each other's websites, we'll link back with a relevant keyword. And it means that if you slowly build these up, so you have these partners, these contacts, these clients, work out what is your target market going after. What are the questions they have? What are the objections they often bring up? Build some content, whether that's a video, a podcast, an article, to directly attack that. Build an article on each other's sites, include that media-rich content, and then link back. If you steadily accumulate these over time, that can build up your website's authority and give you some nice, juicy links. But not only that, it strengthens relationships with those prospects or partners. So then you can build up terms for like referral agreements, kickbacks if they get projects or inquiries that fit your persona that they can't serve, and vice versa. So that's one of my favorite ways to build decent links and ramp up SEO.
And I really love that idea, because as I'm thinking through it, it's a pipeline acceleration playbook of, hey, we just wanted to reach out. We're actually about to launch a blog series, and we'd love to get some of your thoughts and insights on how we can do it. Maybe we can swap some content. So like I'm just so focused for all of our clients on the reason to reach out. The more reasons you have to reach out that are actually good reasons and not just, hey, I'm following up, hey, I'm following up, hey, I'm following up, like the more likely you are to actually keep a potential account engaged. It's actually something I literally did last night. I had a bunch of closed lost opportunities that said, oh, we're going to try this in-house, or, oh, we're going to build our own ABM program. And I followed up with everybody and said, hey, I hope Q1 went super well. I hope you're right on track. If you are, I'd actually love to invite you onto my podcast to share the story of how you were able to crush this in-house. If you're not exactly where you hope to be, would it be worth having another conversation? So it's a closed loss re-engagement campaign that if they are successful, great, I get good podcast content. If they aren't where they hope to be, hopefully that restarts the conversation. So like, I just think that's a super smart idea for SEO as well. With the last couple of minutes, what I want to dig into is just more unexpected roadblocks. Like, again, you've made it, I think, very accessible of find out your money niche terms, create really high quality content, work with partners to do content swaps if you need to do a backlinking strategy, but also just recognizing the more niche the term you go, the less competitive it's going to be. And I even just think about that from a sales process perspective, the difference of like top 15 calendaring links versus top 15 calendaring links for finance teams. Like even if there is no, and this is not going to be the case, but even if that had zero search value, the content alone for sales enablement is valuable enough. So
I love the idea. One thing to remember as well, when you get stuck into the weeds on SEO tools, you got to remember they're working on historical data. So sometimes these keyword search tools, like they'll say like one of that, let's say for example, that keyword you mentioned there, they might say it's got zero searches per month. But if you're constantly hearing prospects mention something, and that might not be a high intent keyword like that, it might be a question or a concern or an objection, and you build content to directly attack that. If people are constantly raising up, they're searching for it. And even though the tools say zero, that might change in a few months' time. It might go to 10 searches per month, and then 20, then 30. So that's where, if you're only following SEO tools, listening to your customers can often pay off a lot more. So it's a good point.
That's a roadblock that was unexpected. I've just don't necessarily only follow the SEO tools. Are there any other unexpected roadblocks or challenges to implementation for a playbook like this?
Loads. Endless. Most of the time, the exec team won't buy into SEO because they want short-term success. And you can see, the thing is with SEO, like everyone says, like you need 6 to 12 months, and for super competitive generic terms, you do often. But like for some of our clients, like we've got a couple SaaS clients, we literally built within 30 days, we got them results just by exhausting their alternative terms. So they're a SaaS provider in the leadership space. We looked at all their competitors, there was 12 or so. We, for all those keywords, i.e. vendor name alternative, the only things that ranked were like G2 and Trustera. So we literally built out super long form listicles for all of those and got all those 12 alternative terms ranking within 30 days. So that's one myth that kind of SEO takes 6 months plus, because if you go after specific terms, then you can see a decent uptick in traffic if you do it smart. And that can capture some high intent leads. Another thing, getting buy-in is tough, right? Because oftentimes funded companies, fast growth companies or bootstrap companies, they'll say, look, we're going to spend the money on paid ads or review sites, or we're going to hire a couple SDRs because we know that we can get quick meetings on the books. So it's, unless management or marketing understand the value of organic search, i.e. it's going to give us evergreen content, we're going to get traffic, not just now, but for years to come. And it's good sales enablement content. Unless there is that internal buy-in, it's bloody hard to sell it internally. So that's one roadblock. The other is resources. So unless you're working with like an agency that can help you, being able to actually do this research, do customer research, build out the content and build out the website updates and all that kind of stuff and build links, whether you're doing a partner program or other ways to build links, can get some pushback. So obviously often marketers are juggling 100 things at once. So actually setting aside the time to do that, those are a few kind of common ones that we see.
Yeah, I mean, anything in marketing is the buy-in piece of just like, we all know, okay, we should do these things, but they're not the fastest things and we need results now. But how do we, if you're always in the we need results now, you're never going to inevitably get to the exponential growth piece. So I love the call out around that. And then what I've been finding when it comes to blog content that's actually made it easier to sell is framing it up as sales enablement content. That's just easily accessible. We're already building this out as like a one pager or a PDF. Why not put it on the website? Ungate it. Like, seems like a good idea. And yeah, you get a lot of buy-in for programs like that as an easier way of getting something started. And oh, and then by the way, we start to get some inbound off of it. No, this was a good idea. Maybe we should build more here.
Mm. Yeah, that's nice. I use quite a direct approach. So I usually just say to execs, you haven't done SEO yet. If you Google, what's the main kind of solution or service or product term you want to go after? If you go back to our calendar tool, you might say like calendar tool for construction companies. All right, let's Google it. All right, I can see five of your competitors above you. So they're stealing traffic 24/7 around the clock and potential ops. Is that something you want to address?
Much more direct.
Probably.
So before we close out, again, I know that like your area of expertise is podcasting, it is SEO, but I also know that you've done some ABM programs for yourself. So I'm just curious of, is there anything else you'd want to share with the audience around how to get started building an ABM program?
ABM, yeah, I suppose a bit off topic, which is, so my area of expertise is usually SEO websites and we produce some podcasts, but yeah, which you've probably talked about on the show an exponential amount, but yeah, inviting. One thing we've seen success with on Breaking B2B is making a list of target accounts. So in our case, the tech space, SaaS space, B2B service space, finding out who their marketing leader is, whether they're a CMO, VP of marketing, demand gen director, making a list of those on a simple Google sheet and inviting them onto the show. Hey, Charles, enjoyed your recent show on Scrappy ABM. Would love to have you on my top 10 B2B marketing podcast, Breaking B2B, Against a Conversation. 90% of the time they say, would love to. We do a great show. Build some rapport before and after. I'll often just say, I'll ask them a question around how they're tackling the problem we fix. Like, how are you tackling competitors showing above you on organic search when high intent prospects need your offer? And they'll say, we're handling that in-house, or actually we're looking at that Q2. Can you pick up then? Then we stay in touch and they might refer me to someone else. They might not. But either way, we've built up a relationship. So that's a good one. But one thing that's good about podcasts on SEO, actually, which is another thing you can do, is podcast guesting. So you've probably heard of a site, Mason, called Chartable. Mm-hmm. And in fact, I think you did a post about earlier. So chartable.com, a great way to build PR, get leads and get backlinks is you go on chartable.com, look at the filter, it's Apple Podcasts or Spotify, filter it to your target country, USA, UK. Filter it to your target niche, in my case, marketing, in your case, whatever your service industry is. Look at the top 50 podcasts. Slowly make a cadence of reaching out to 4 or 5 of those podcast hosts a day, requesting to go on the show and share your area of expertise. LinkedIn personal invites usually the best. And then do a great show on their show. Share your tips, share actionable advice. At the end of each one, do a call to action to your website or your lead magnet, whatever. But then ask that host after the show on their article page to do a backlink to one of your target keywords. So basically you get 3 in 1, you get like the boost of being on their show. You get a potential new audience to come to your website and you also get a backlink. So that's another one to help SEO.
That's amazing. And again, to go back to the prior tip around just the target account invite, for you, it's 90%, but like average is legitimately 80% of people say yes to coming onto a podcast. So as long as, and I always give the caveat of like same level, and forgive me for being so blunt about it, but if I asked Simon Sinek, Alex Hormozi, Gary Vaynerchuk, highly unlikely to come on my podcast. But when I ask people that are of a same following, of the same industry respect level or like a couple levels higher, they're likely to say yes at an 80% rate. And then if you also think about it from the perspective of, okay, how do I now invite target accounts? What I've found, and I don't know if this is your case, the really high name people often don't get that many downloads, but they give you the respect for outreach. So I'm able to like reference, oh, I had so-and-so on my show and I'd love to have you join as well.
Completely agree. Yeah. It's usually the hype, not always, but like you say, a big chunk of the time, the well-known, let's say the well-known folks in your niche or your industry, they'll often not be that bothered about sharing the content after on socials or the video clips or the artwork, which is fair enough because they probably want to promote their own shit. Whereas when you get to maybe people with slightly lesser followings, they're usually super grateful that they came on your show. You give them a promo kit with the video clips, the artwork and all that stuff, and they'll happily share it. And those episodes tend to get a lot more downloads or views, or I'm exactly the same.
Yeah. Sam, thank you again for joining me today. I'm glad we dug into the topic around how do you build an SEO strategy that actually engages your target accounts. If people want to find out more about you, where can they find you?
Yeah, I appreciate it, man. So by all means, follow me on LinkedIn. It's Sam Dunning, share daily tips on SEO and websites. You can check out my podcast called Breaking B2B, where we, a bit like this, we interview marketing practitioners and share tips on solo apps. Or if you're maybe listening to this and thought, yeah, some of those points resonate, I'm a little bit frustrated that we're not driving a steady flow of kind of inbound leads through organic search, then feel free to book a call with us at breakingb2b.com.
Love it. Again, Sam, thank you for joining me today. This has been Scrappy ABM. Hope you all enjoyed. Thanks. Thank you for listening to this week's episode of Scrappy ABM. If you enjoyed this week's episode, go ahead and give us a follow so that you don't miss a single episode. We drop every single Monday so that you can start your week off right. And if you're looking for additional great content just like this, go check out scrappyabm.com. We're building a library of frameworks, guides, templates, processes, and tools so you have everything that you need to build a low-budget, high-impact, scrappy program. Again, thank you for listening to this episode of Scrappy ABM. This has been your host, Mason Cosby, and we look forward to seeing you in the next one.